Rob Dazier. Am I saying it right? Did I get the last name?
Yep, you got it. That's right.
It's an awesome last name.
Thank you.
Rob, tell me now, how much do you despise those TMZ hits that you have to do every night at 6:50? I mean, just kidding.
Oh my gosh. I like talking to Harvey and Michael, and you know, so they're great. But I just, you know, I'm really, really tired of Britney Spears stories. So, you know, it's just like, I don't know how many times we can talk about her conservatorship, and I don't know how many times. I joke with Harvey. I said, you must have a department just dedicated to her conservatorship info. So it's just like, God, I don't know how long we can keep, you know, just grabbing the story, you know, but I love, they're awesome people to talk to. Sometimes they have some great things to talk. TMZ has broken so many stories, so it's great to have that access with those guys. You know, it's just,
so
you know,
many
stories that people know that I don't care about is like that kind of stuff. And I don't care about royal family stuff.
I am so with you. And sometimes I just look at like you and Shireen, or, and it's like, you guys do a great job. But I'm like, these legit, you know, anchors do not want to ask for the thousandth time about the Kardashian's cat that ran away. I mean, you know, they don't care. They don't care. But anyway.
I'm actually doing TMZ today, and I actually have to talk about Kim Kardashian and her date with the
Pete
dude
Davidson
from Saturday Night Live.
And you don't care. But anyway, no,
it's
you don't. Look, they're in the TMZ's in the Fox family now. It's great. People love that stuff, but it's, you know, you guys do a good job.
I understand. There's people who like salivate over that info. So I have to keep that in mind.
Rob, I'm so curious to talk to you because you have had like a full circle career. I mean, you had, how long have you been here at Fox 5? You're a newbie.
Is today the third? Wow. Today actually makes 6 months.
6 months. And you moved from Richmond, Virginia, which Richmond's kind of a fun town. Did you like it down there?
Oh, yeah. I lived there for 6 years. Richmond was more than what I thought it would ever would be. People sleep on Richmond. Obviously, it's the capital of the state of Virginia, but there's so much there. And what I learned is, you know, people in Richmond are foodies. There's so many amazing restaurants in Richmond.
Isn't
so if
the food
nobody's ever been, I highly recommend. You will not be disappointed in the food selections there.
It's an awesome town. It's in a very eclectic town, like super historic, but it's like artsy and hipster. I mean, it's really, I love the vibe when you go down
mm-hmm.
there.
Yeah, it's amazing.
So you started your career in sports, right? So when you start out as a sports anchor, did you like, was the goal ESPN? You're like, I'm going to have my own show on ESPN. Was it? I know.
Yeah, it was. It was. I was, you know, ever since I was a kid, I tell a quick story. Ever since I was a kid, I knew that I was going to be a sports anchor. I knew that since I was probably 7, 8 years old. I knew that's the career that I was going to take, only because of the silliest, most dumbest thing, because I grew up a huge New York Jets fan growing up originally in New York, upstate New York. And so we used to watch the news at dinner. My dad was a big news guy. We had a TV actually up in the corner of our kitchen, and he'd watch the news as we were eating dinner. But I got intrigued by when the sports segments would come on and how well-timed everything that they were saying. And I don't know why it caught my eye, but it did. Well, anyway, long story short, I learned that as a Jets fan, well, because I was a big Jets fan, the people in New York, they'd go to the Jets games all the time, and they'd be like, hey, do you know if you cover the Jets, you get to go to watch the games for free? And you get to eat for free. So as a 7-year-old, you're like, free food, free game, I'm sold. That was it. And that's where I knew I was going to pursue that career. But it's so funny that you say being ESPN, because I knew I wanted to work there. When I got to college, I actually interned at ESPN. And then
Who'd you work with? Stephen A. Smith? Who were some of the big names?
No, when I interned there, it was Stuart Scott, rest in peace. He was there. Dan Patrick, Keith Olbermann. There were so many people there. Linda Cohn was still there. Steve Buchigross. I mean, there was so many. I mean, some of these people that are still there today were there when I was an intern. And a lot of them were really nice. But I mean, the internship wasn't what I thought it was going to be. I've done internships at several other places. They're more of an observe at the time. I don't know. They probably changed that years ago. The hands-on, I wish it was a little bit more hands-on at the time. But again, it was still an amazing experience. I was there. I saw the desk. I actually wrote a script that was read on the air by Stuart Scott at the time. So it was like, you know, as you're in college, you're like, holy cow, I wrote this script, this highlight, and he read it.
You and I interned back when like they would still make you get coffee. Like, I mean, you know, you were like, now, I mean, you know, I don't even think you can do that. Like the kids have to be like legit.
Yeah.
right? But right, you and exactly. I interned back when they'd be like, get luck, go buy us coffee with your own money. You're like, I'm so exactly. poor, like I can't.
Exactly.
Yeah. So you intern at ESPN, freaking huge, right? So you decide this is the path. I'm going to be an ESPN, a sports anchor. So what was your first gig? Where did you go to college, by the way?
University of Miami.
Oh, University of Miami. All right, great. Wow, so you leave upstate New York where it's freezing, 10 months out of the year, and you head down to Miami. It must have been like a total shock.
Oh, it was great. Well, my mom had always had this thing to move to Florida. She's like, oh, I want to move to Florida. I'm tired of the winters. I'm tired. I want to get out. So I actually ended up going first because when I went to college, my mom was like, hey, you need to pick a school. And one of the schools that you pick, you're going to pick in Florida. So, I thought you couldn't tell me. I was never leaving the state of New York. I was like, oh, man, I'm going to Syracuse. Syracuse is my school. That's it. Blah, blah, blah. That's where I'm going. It didn't happen. I ended up going to Miami, and I loved it. It was the greatest decision I ever made. My family moved down there. 95% of my family's in South Florida. So, we're all down there, and then nobody's ever left since. Nobody would ever even dream about moving back up north. Everybody's got the warm Floridian blood.
The beautiful beaches.
In their veins now.
Yeah, you're there.
Beaches, everything. So.
You graduate from college, and then how did you get your first gig in television?
Oh, goodness. Well, that took a little bit longer than I thought. When we're young in college, you're graduating, 21, 22 years old, you're thinking, oh, I'm going to do this job for a year, and then I'm going to go network, and then I'm going to make $5 million a year before I'm 30. But that doesn't happen.
Sounded like my goals. Yep.
Right. So after I graduated from college, it actually took 9 months before I got my first TV job. So I had to wait. I knew some people, everybody's path is different, everybody, I always say everybody can't shine at the same time, but it took me 9 months, but I kept pursuing because I was focused. You couldn't tell me that I wasn't going to get a job in TV. And then after 9 months, a station in Mobile, Alabama, Fox 10, WALA, gave me a shot at being a morning sports anchor. And I never even knew that there was such a thing as a morning sports anchor. But at that time, local stations did morning sports. And it was great for me because the morning show was like 2.5 hours. I was doing a hit every half hour. And for sports, most people sports, you get 2 minutes a day and that's it. 2.5 minutes a day. Here, I was getting two and a half minutes every half hour so it was great for me. I was getting so many practice runs. So I was hitting like five times a day. So it helped me get the base level of becoming an on-air personality.
Wow. Okay. So you go from Mobile, you keep working your way up, I'm sure.
Yeah. So I went Mobile to Indianapolis.
Okay.
And then St. Louis. And then after St. Louis, that's when everything started to change from sports. And I had to wait a while to switch over to news.
Okay. So what changed? Like, why did you decide news? How did that come about?
It actually wasn't my decision. So, in TV, things happen. Contracts get renewed. Contracts don't get renewed. At the time I was in St. Louis, I had been there for about 9 years. And then my station just decided to go in another direction. And, those things happen and you're like, okay, whatever. It is what it is. And, there was tension building up and we ended up going there separate ways. And it was during that time when I was like, oh, I'm gonna stick to sports because I've worked so hard in it. I've been in it so long. I can do this. I can keep doing it. Well, stuff just wasn't happening. It just was not happening for me. So time was going by and I wasn't getting no love, no feelers, nothing. Mm. Like a couple of times I might have interviewed for a couple of jobs, but I didn't get them. And, and those things happen. It was not working. I could not figure out why. And then you start to question yourself and you start to doubt yourself. You're like, man, is everybody else that much better than me? Or am I not that good? Or can I not do this? I mean, I know what I'm talking about. And then you start watching other people. You're like, man, that person's whack. you start to hate on everybody, Then you get over it. You're like, everybody, like I said, what is meant for you is going to happen in that time frame. And that's what, at the time you don't want to hear that. You don't want to believe that, but it's actually true. Like, when it's your time, what's written with your name on it, it's going to be yours and only yours. But that took a long time for that to happen. And then it was when I started to decide, And my mom was like, you should probably think about doing news. And to me, I always thought news was boring and dull. I'm like, oh, this is so boring. I don't want to talk about politics or, you know, meetings, you know, town hall meetings and blah, blah, blah. But then I started to realize, you know, sports is only a small segment in a newscast. You know, if you want to reach a broader audience, you want to be on when the news actually hits. You don't want to be on in the last 2 minutes of the show. And so I started to consider that. And I was always a news junkie anyway. I just didn't see myself covering the news. But then, you know, Richmond, the CBS 6 in Richmond, WTVR, asked was if I was willing. And they were like, hey, look, we know you are a big sports guy. And they actually said, hey, look, if you want to come up here, let's just try it for a while on a freelance basis. And I was like, okay, that sounds fair. And within 3 weeks, I knew that this was something that I could see myself doing. And then we, you know, after the freelance basis was up, we actually signed a contract, and one contract turned into two, and two turned into three contracts there. So it was crazy.
And isn't it kind of funny how God or the universe, whatever, works out? Because what's strange is across the country, I don't know, they're getting rid of news departments or getting rid of sports departments.
Sports departments is kind of going,
and even ESPN, right? I mean, thank God you're doing what you're doing. You probably would have been fired from ESPN because everyone else has. I mean, you know, it's like, you know, poor, right? I mean, there's only a few of the long-termers there. But why do you think that is? You worked in sports. Why do you think a lot of stations are getting away from having a sports anchor or sports?
You know, it hurts me because as a person who's based in sports, who loves sports, I still love sports to this day. You know, sports has taken me to so many places that I've never been and been to events that I would never go to if not for my job. So I have a deep passion for sports. So when I see these things where people get rid of the sports departments or people don't put an emphasis on sports, I disagree with that. I will always disagree with that only because of my background. But I think that most corporations are thinking they're going to get more bang for their buck if they just focus on news, and they know that a lot of people who care about their sports will only go to, you know, networks or regional sports channels, which I totally understand. Regional sports are important to a lot of markets, so a lot of cities. And obviously the network, you know, the ESPNs and the Fox Sports ones are great because we can get all our national sports there. But there is nothing like having your own local sports department. To me, I will always feel that way, because while you can watch regional and network and get that stuff, you're not going to get the daily dose of what is happening with that team every day without having local sports. Because local sports, you'll see they're covering what happened today with the Washington football team, or what happened with the Wizards, or with the, you know, with the Caps, or, you know, the United, you know, that's where you're going to get that. But I understand that there's only a core audience who wants to know who's on the injury list, or, you know, what happened today. You know, people don't care about it. They just want to get their highlights and scores, and that's it now. So we're living in a society where people don't want the small details. They just want to know who won.
Yeah. Before we move on from your sports career, tell me, like, what were some stories, you know, because obviously you covered some big ones. What were some that stand out for you that were, like, really significant moments in sports?
I would say there's so many, but a couple of things that stand out to me. When I was in Indianapolis, I was there the day, you know, the University of Indiana head basketball coach Bobby Knight, who was a legend in Indiana for 30, 40 years, the day he got fired. I remember going down to Bloomington and being there for that event and how crazy it was on that campus. That's a memory that stands out to me. Another memory that stands out is another one in Indiana. When I was in Indianapolis, my first day on the job, I had to go cover a practice preview of the Pacers and the Lakers. And the first two people I had to cover during a Lakers shoot around, first two people I interviewed were Kobe and Shaq. To see those guys, you know, having come from Mobile, you know, where there wasn't a professional team, we covered college football, high school football big, but then now going into at a top 25 market at the time, and now I'm covering professional teams, professional basketball, professional football, to put me out there, I was like, wow, this is what I always thought I'd be doing. But then you put me with these two guys, you know, my first day on the job, I was like, wow, what else is there, you know? And, you know, so that was amazing.
Now, wait, did you interview them together? Or separately?
No, it was different. Separate. Like, so like, hey, Kobe, you got a sec? Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Hey, Shaq, you got a sec? Oh, yeah. You know, that kind of stuff. You
because
know?
They notoriously didn't really get along, right? I mean, they didn't.
Yeah, well, yeah. But it was early. That was before. I think that at that time, they hadn't won a championship yet. That was the first one that year. 2000 was, I think, their first championship together.
Okay. Got it. So, yeah. And I mean, obviously as a sports journalist, I mean, how, and you had met Kobe and interviewed Kobe when Kobe passed away. I mean, that must've been one of those crazy moments. So surreal.
unbelievable. Like I found myself glued to the television. My brother texted me first and I was like, what are you talking about? And then I went and I was like, let me go check on social media, went on Twitter, and then all these reports started to come down. And at first everything was just flying. There was nothing that was, you couldn't believe anything you saw. And then they're talking about, oh, Kobe died, all of his daughters died. And you're like, what? You know, and it's just like, and you're seeing this fake video of a helicopter, and it's like, but I was glued to the TV. It was so sad. It was to this day, a lot of people still can't believe that Kobe's gone, but it's just one of those things, how certain people in life and sports or in history and music can have such an impact on such a large amount of people. And he is definitely one of them.
Yeah, they are. They're just larger than life. Like you just, there's, even though of course everyone's going to die, there's something about, you just don't think they will, you know? So it's like, that was just so crazy and horrific.
Exactly.
So you make the transition to news. You've been doing that. You've been here like 6 months, right? So what was it like coming into Fox 5? There's obviously a lot of transition happening. Like you get here, right? And then we move TV, we move like locations, you know, and I always think about for these podcasts, like asking you and Jeanette, you know, you guys come in after some big named longtime personalities. So how's the audience been? I mean, what's that been like? Have people been welcoming? Have people been like, why are you here? You know, so it's very hard, I think, to come into big stations because people get very attached to you guys.
Yeah, I mean, it was a lot of madness going on over there before I got in there. But I can say this, for me, I haven't really received any kind of like backlash or hate, you know, on my part, because I come in there, and like a lot of times you come into a new station, you are replacing someone. But for me, it hasn't been bad. It's been pretty much all love. And I've wanted to do my part to make sure that I wasn't being disrespectful or doing anything that, you know, was just trying to, you know, whatever happened before me. That has nothing to do with me. You know, they brought me in for a purpose, and now I'm just here to do my part, to do my job. But there was a lot of transition going on. Not only that, you talk about people who've been here before, but we were also, like you said, moving into one building into a new one. So I had only been there probably not even 2 months. So I was in the new old building trying to learn the ins and outs of that building. And just when I thought I was starting to get the hang of it, well, okay, let's move over to Bethesda. And now we're starting all over again. So I started over twice in basically 3 months, you know? So that's been crazy. And there's so many things that they do different from what I had not done before in the past. And the biggest thing for me was running my own teleprompter. So as in the past, you know, a lot of times there's somebody in there in another room scrolling for you, whatever. Well, here, you run your own teleprompter and you use basically like a foot pedal, like a gas pedal, you know? But I had never done that before. And there's so many of this little things where if you touch it the wrong way, it'll go backwards. If you press too hard, it'll fly back 3 scripts. If you press too hard, it'll fly, you know, 4 scripts forward. And you're like, oh, you know, so sometimes I felt like I was a deer in the headlights and it was like, you know, I'm trying to read the show. I'm like, in other news, you know, but I'm trying not to look that way. I'm trying to play it as cool as I can, but those are growing pains that come with working at a new station. And I'm just so glad that a lot of the audience was patient in working with me and seeing that eventually I could get the hang of it and just do my part and contribute, because everybody has been so helpful, especially all my co-anchors, in helping me make the transition up here.
Oh, that's great. I always think about you guys because I worked in radio for years. So lots of times when you come in, you are replacing somebody, but people have, you know, they're attached to that person or whatever. And then sometimes they project it on you. But it's great to hear that that's been like a good transition.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I really haven't had to worry about that. You know, I've been fortunate, but I know how it can be for some people where that pressure can just mount. And you're like, oh my God, all I keep hearing about is X, you know, right. And you know, it doesn't help your situation as you're trying to blend in. But I've been fortunate and blessed that has been the case for me.
All right. Well, let's talk about your personal life, because I'm really fascinated. You have a beautiful wife. You guys are like a gorgeous couple.
And what, thank you.
And what, do you own a private jet? I mean, when I Google you, the first thing that comes up are these like sexy engagement pictures on this private jet. I mean, I'm like, okay, Rob, what? Like, so tell me this. Your wife is actually a flight attendant?
Yes, she is. She's a flight attendant, so she loves everything about travel. So when we got engaged and she wanted to do the save the date photos, that was her whole mission. She's like, we're doing this on a jet. And I was like, okay, I guess we're doing it on a jet.
You guys looked so good. But wait a minute. Did you, this is like my first thought to you. Did you guys meet on an airplane? How did you two meet?
No, we actually met in the club. So when people tell you can't find love in the club, I tell them, no, that's not true, because I did. But we actually met, it's a crazy story, but we actually met back in 2010 in Miami on South Beach.
Okay.
Yeah, so we were both there visiting. I was living in St. Louis at the time, so I went home that weekend, and she was living in Phoenix, and she was on a girls' trip to Miami. And I was just home visiting the family, and me and my brothers just went out that night. And you're like, well, let's go to the beach, let's go to South Beach, let's go to the club, whatever. So I ended up meeting her. We talked, we chatted. And she was telling me she lived in Phoenix. And I was like, oh, wow, that's crazy. I actually have to go to work to Phoenix in a couple months because I was covering the Rams. Rams were playing the Arizona Cardinals. I was like, hey, I'll actually be in Phoenix. Maybe we can link up for dinner. We linked up for dinner, and then we kept in touch. I went back, and then we lost all touch.
Okay.
And so then we lost touch for 5 years. And then fast forward 5 years later, and I'm in Miami, and she's there again. And I just happened to see that she was in Miami. It was crazy. The craziest
thing. You guys
thing.
Followed each other on social media
we
or
were,
something?
We were Facebook. Yeah, at that time, you know, it was Facebook friends. We had stayed Facebook friends. We just lost touch. So, like, I would see Facebook or Instagram, and, you know, I just happened to be on Instagram that day, or Facebook, whatever it was, and I just happened to see her post a picture that she was on South Beach. And I was like, this is crazy because I'm in Miami and she's in Miami and I hadn't seen this person in 5 years. So then I don't know what compelled me to do it, but I hit her. I hit her on a DM, you know, and I was like, hey, this is crazy. I know we haven't seen each other in 5 years, but I'm in Miami too. And she was like, oh my God, I was just telling one of my girls, she was there with her friend. She was like, I was just telling my friend how I met a guy here 5 years ago. And so it was crazy. So we met, and that pretty much started the ball rolling again. And then another thing that happened was now she's living in Minneapolis. Now, go back to 2015. She's living in Minneapolis because with her job as a flight attendant, she was based in Minneapolis. So, and then I ended up moving to Richmond that year. But that year, there was the, you know, the National Association of Black Journalists Convention was in Minneapolis that summer. And I was like, hey, look, I have to be in Minneapolis. Now, we were talking, but we weren't really, you know. So 5 months later, I'm like, hey, look, I'm going to be in Minneapolis. She goes, well, I think I have to work. So if I'm here, I'm here. If I'm not, I'm not. She actually ended up being there that weekend. We hung out. And then after that, it was pretty much game over.
This seems like a lot of chances of fate. Like, I feel like
oh my God,
too
many chances.
Yeah, they kept putting
you
together.
And too many weird cities, too many random cities, you know? It's just like,
okay, but wait, all this time, like before, I mean, you must have been like an eligible bachelor. Was it hard to date or were you ever engaged like before or anything?
No, I had never been engaged. I had been in a relationship, a serious relationship before her prior. It was like, I was in a long-term relationship before her for about, it was like 7 years.
Yep.
But it just, that didn't happen for us. You know, sometimes things work out with people.
Totally.
And then when I was single again, I was going out, you know, I was doing my thing. I was living the life. I loved it.
Well, yeah,
you know
you're a reporter. Like, I mean, you know? You're on TV. Everybody's interested. Yeah. Yeah, I mean.
So it was, yeah, I'm not going to lie. I had fun. You know, and then, but then, you know, she just had whatever, you know, they say what there's that one person that just kind of just has that power or effect over you. And it just happened to be her. I was like, you lucky girl, because if I would have fought it,
I would have
been out in these streets.
They wanted you. The universe wanted you two together. All that.
It was the universe.
OK, so
universe.
How many years have you guys been married?
Now we've been married. We got married in 2019, so 2.5 years.
And how do you, I mean, you both, like, she's still a flight attendant, yes?
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah, and she's based in Chicago, so she has to fly from D.C. to Chicago every week to start her shift, and then her shifts always start and end in Chicago. So that's what she does. It's crazy. Like, but for her, I swear, her getting on a plane is like me or you calling an Uber or Lyft. You know, she's like, I'm going to go. Yeah, I'll be back. I'll be like, okay.
Right. For us, we're like making a list, all the things we need to bring. But yeah, with her, it is, right? So it's, how has she been about you guys moving, like moving your careers? I mean, you guys have pretty intense careers, both of you.
Yeah, no, and I've been fortunate enough because there's a lot of times, especially in our industry and in television, where you have to move and somebody you're with, your significant other, could have a established career in the city you meet them in.
Yeah.
And for them to pick up and move is very difficult. For my wife, I'm fortunate enough that she can live anywhere and do what she does because all she needs is a base. And as long as she can get to her base. Now, I think her commute is crazy. I don't know how she does it. I commend her all the time about, you know, because I just couldn't pick up, you know, if I had a 2.5 hour commute every week to start my job, I'd find that difficult. But for her, she's been doing it for so long that she's used to it and she supports everything that I do. So that's, that means a lot to me too. So, but yeah, it's just crazy. So I'm fortunate enough that she can continue to do her job and, you know, do it and still love what she does. But if we ended up in a city where they had a base, that'd have been great too. So then she doesn't have to, you know, catch a lift every week at 2.5 hours, you know?
Yeah. Tell me about growing up. So you, how many siblings do you have?
I'm the oldest of five. I have four younger brothers.
All boys? Oh my God, your poor mom. Did she want a daughter?
She did. In fact, with my baby brother, she was hoping and praying that this was the one, but it wasn't.
Man, they really put in every effort though. Five kids, like five times to try to get a girl. That's like...
Man. So, you know, and I'm like, oh man, I'm so glad I don't have a sister. And I'm like, yeah. And I people go, you wish you had a sister. I'm like, no, I don't. I'm glad. I you know, me and my brothers are great. You know, we're a starting five. We can put a whole basketball team on the floor right now. You know what I'm saying?
I mean, I'm sure that's the joy, right? I'm sure. Are you tight with your brothers? Like, where do they all live? Are they all in Florida?
All of my brothers, three of them, they were all in Florida up until about earlier this year, where one of my brothers just recently moved to Raleigh. So, actually, he's in Charlotte now, but he's moving to Raleigh. So, one of my brothers is in Charlotte. All the other three are down in South Florida in the Miami, Fort Lauderdale area.
Wow. Oh, my God. And are any of them in broadcasting, or are you the only broadcaster?
Two of them are police officers. One of them is, he's like, the youngest, he's like some entrepreneur. Like, he has a full-time job. He works for American Express, but then he's also like a side hustler. Like he flips sneakers. He's does the cryptocurrency.
Oh.
And the one that lives in North Carolina, he's involved in, you know, computer science, computer technology, programming and coding and all that other stuff.
Wow. Okay. And what did your parents do when you were growing up?
My dad was a chemical operator. So he worked for this company called Lederle Laboratories growing up in New York. So basically Lederle Laboratories, my dad was part of the group that helped make Flintstone tablets.
You mean like the awesome pills that we all ate as a kid? Like your dad? That's the
my
best.
Dad did that.
Would you get free Flintstone pills
as
a kid?
We got like big cases of them, big. And we'd eat Flintstones like it was candy. Like, wasn't that one day multivitamin? We're like, no, grab a handful of Flintstones and just eat them like Pop Rocks.
You guys must have been like loaded on vitamin C,
man,
vitamin D.
Man,
you weren't deficient in any vitamins. You guys,
we weren't lacking. We were not lacking in vitamin C. That's for sure. And my mom, she is a retired nurse. My mom is a nurse.
Wow. And both your parents are still alive.
No, my dad passed earlier this year, back in March.
I'm so sorry. How has that been? Okay. That's so rough.
Yeah, it's been crazy. My dad was just he had a couple of different ailments, but you know what really caught him was part of my dad had COVID back in last November. So he had COVID, which put him in the hospital for actually 46 days, and he got out in January of this year. Which he actually got out January this year on my wife's birthday.
Wow!
So it was crazy that he got out. And he was battling a couple other pre-existing conditions. 6 weeks later, my dad had to go back in the hospital because he was complaining about a back problem. And it was part of a pre-existing condition. And then he had to have surgery. And the surgery just did not go well for my dad. And his body just started to deteriorate. And so, yeah, so he passed back on March 5th of this year.
Oh, my God. So you're starting a new job. You're, like, transitioning buildings.
Yeah. I got the job offer 4 days after my dad passed.
Oh, my God. Has that just been
crazy,
so
crazy,
hard?
Crazy story. Oh. Crazy story was my dad passed, and I had an interview that day.
And did you did the interview? Did you do the
interview? I did it. I did it.
Oh my God. Rob, that is like some heavy stuff. Like,
yeah.
Hopefully you're like doing well and taking care of your mental health.
Oh my God. It's so important. Like my, you know, it's my family. We've all been trying to stick with each other. And then it's crazy. Just last month, my grandmother passed. So it's been a crazy year. My grandmother, she passed 3 weeks before her 99th birthday. So she lived a life. She lived an amazing life.
You've
so,
good genes.
You know, oh my God. It's just, yeah, but we understand it's part of life, and you don't want to see, you hate to lose a parent. And yeah, so it's been, you know, kind of, it's been hard, but you know, we maintained, and you know, I have so many memories of my dad, you know, and so that's the great thing. I can always remember so many things about my dad all the time. There's something that always reminds me of him. So it's great. It's great. Like, I know he's always with me. I know he's watching down on me, and you know, I know he's proud.
I was going to say, I bet they're extremely proud of all your brothers sound like they're very successful, but did they love seeing you go into TV?
Yeah. I mean, I think that they really didn't get it at first. You know, they were like, okay, so what are you doing? Like, okay, so how does this do? And, you know, like with any parents, they're like, so what does it pay? And I'm like, well, when you first start out, it doesn't really pay much depending on where you go. You know, like you could make less than, you know, like a waiter if you go into a small market. You know, you might need to pick up a second job if you work somewhere in like, you know, Glendive, Montana or something like that, you know. And they're like, oh, they didn't get it. And then when it took a while for me to get my first job, you know, whatever. But then, you know, I was fortunate enough that I didn't, you know, I made a decent enough salary for them that they were like, okay. And I'm like, look, it's only supposed to get up higher. It's going to grow. Trust me, if I work hard enough, opportunities will present themselves. But as they saw, they always knew that I had a passion for it. Like they knew with my internships and everything that I did and how much of a news and sports junkie I was, they knew that this is what I wanted to do. There was nothing else that I wanted to be in life. That or try to do something, go into movies. I always loved acting in movies. I never had any training, but I always thought I could do something. Like, you can give me a small role and I can pull that off.
Exactly.
You
know, I'll make it work. Yeah, exactly.
I can do something. I can act like I like somebody. I can act like I like this or hate that, or, you know, but yeah, they were always super supportive of what I do. And now that they've seen how far I've come over the years, that they realize I made the right choice for myself.
Rob, is it hard to compartmentalize news and what's happening in society? I mean, you have two brothers that are police officers. And over the past 2 years, I mean, you know, we've heard every, you know, defund the police. Of course, we've seen some terrible, you know, actions by police officers. How do you, I mean, that's going to be hard. Because, I mean, I'm sure you like, you know, you adore your brothers. You know, you know they do good work. But yet, how do you manage all that?
Well, usually I just call my brothers and I start off with the NWA song F the Police and I just play it for them. No, I'm just kidding.
I'm sure they love that.
Yeah. No, I joke with them, but my brothers are super cool. They're like, I don't think that, like, they love their jobs, but they're not like some of their coworkers. There's some people who like live and breathe what they do. And there's some things that they've taught me about, like, you know, when we see stories about a cop defending himself, here's why the cop did A, B, or C. Here's why he shot, or here's why this cop was in the right, or here's why this cop was in the wrong. So they've taught me to not immediately rush to judgment because we have a story on, oh, another, you know, black man got shot, or, oh, this person was, you know, shot for no reason, or this, that. So my brothers have taught me about scenarios that they could encounter as to why a police officer might take the actions that he does. But I don't always agree with it, but I've learned a little bit more to understand why they think like that. But there are certain things that I hate when, you know, some people use, you know, they'll like, oh, I fear for my life. You know, when I always hear that immediately, I always rush to judgment, but my brother goes, but hey, he might have actually feared for his life because of this scenario that happened. But then sometimes I hear and I'm like, man, he's just using that as his excuse, you know, but I understand every scenario is different and we weren't there. So we'll never really get to the truth unless we were actually there and witness it for ourselves.
Yeah. I mean, it has to be hard. You're human too. You know, even though you report these news stories and interview people and, but tell me your experience. I mean, you're a black man, you're in the, you know, you're in the last time we checked. So what's your career been like? Do you feel like you've had fewer opportunities, or you've been discriminated against, or do you feel like you haven't? Like, how do you, you know, because I feel like the thing with you guys is we don't get to hear your story, right? You guys report all these things, but then it's like, what's your own career been like?
Here's the thing. I mean, obviously, being in the minority can sometimes help or sometimes can hurt your career. And that just goes in any, you know, occupation in life. But I think, like, in TV, and a lot of times we see this happen, but I can sometimes say, hey, look, this is not always the case, because sometimes in TV, people go, oh, this person just left their job or got fired or is moving on to another job, so the station needs to replace that person with somebody that looks just like them. And, you know, we go, this white guy just left, that means they want another white guy. Or this black guy just left, oh, maybe I can apply because it must need another brother. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
But that's not always the case. I mean, sometimes they're just looking for a change. So you have to be open to that. So you can't always just rush to judgment thinking, here's a white lady, so they want to replace her with a black woman, you know, or here's a black woman, they're going to only replace her with a black woman. You know, that's not always the case. It's now more and more, I think we're seeing that companies are not afraid to mix, you know, replace somebody who doesn't look like the last person, because it's probably in their benefit to open their doors and be more diverse. You know, and I can say that about Fox 5. Fox 5 is probably the most diverse station that I've worked at. I mean, we have black, white, Asian, you know, Middle Eastern, you know, we run the gamut.
Yeah, they've always had a really diverse newsroom. Always. Yeah.
Yeah. So I can say that. So and you know, so that's great. You know, and I think that people hear, you know, like, I replaced somebody who was white, so I can't say that was the case for me, you know.
Right.
So they didn't have to do that. So you can work. You just have to believe in yourself. I think if, you know, whatever you do, even in TV, if you think you can do that job, if you're qualified, and if you know how to work your way in and, you know, put your foot in the door or open that door, I think opportunities can present themselves to you as long as you're prepared for those opportunities.
Rob, what's your next goal? I mean, do you want to replace Lester Holt? Like, adios, Lester.
Shoot, who wouldn't want to? You know how much money Lester Holt gets paid? Shoot, that would be an amazing job.
Right? Coming for Nora O'Donnell? Like, what is the goal now?
Hey, I would too. honestly, being here is an amazing opportunity. It's not lost on me the fact that I have a chance to work in a top 10 market in the nation's capital, where so much news goes on, where national news is basically local news for us because we are here. So that is not lost on me. And the opportunity to work at a station that definitely has a reputation throughout the country of being a well-known station, that's great too. So I'm trying to milk this for all it's worth. You know, I'm trying to learn as much as I can, you know, be a part of this community for all I can. Now, what happens next? I don't know, but I'm like you. Like, if an opportunity for like a Lester Holt was like, hey, Rob, can take my job, you know, if it's like 5 or 10 years down the line, like, hey, you know what I'm saying? I don't know if the local station's gonna pay me network money.
I know.
But if they will, I'll consider it.
It's so true. I know. And I mean, you did just get here, so I'm already like, oh, okay, what's your next job? Like, you and your wife are probably like, look, we're good to settle down for a few years.
Yeah.
Like,
she loves it here, by the way, too. Like, she had no idea that she would love out here, because my wife's from California originally.
Oh.
So for her to move to the East Coast and for her to love it out here as much as she does, that's even better for me.
Yeah, yeah, she's a Cali girl. Yeah, that can be a hard adjustment, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So, Rob, tell us a little bit about you when you're not working. Like, what are some of your hobbies? Like, what are you, I mean, do you have like a hidden talent? What are you up to?
In my mind, I'm the world's greatest DJ.
Oh,
like,
really?
I can play songs. I love, like, everybody knows I have this thing. Every Friday night, I have this thing. I call it Club R.O.B., which means when I get off the clock, when I get home, I come home, I play my music, I'm my own DJ, I got the drinks ready, me and the wife, we jamming to all of our favorite, you know, jams, and I'm switching it up, I'm hitting the beat, the transition, all on my phone, you know, I got it going on. So in my mind, I'm a DJ. I'm like the world's greatest DJ, you know, so I love music. Music is like my passion. I love to watch movies, and I'm a foodie. I love to eat, and of course, I love to travel. So these are the things that, you know, that pretty much describe me.
Okay. All right. Last concert that you went to.
Oh my gosh. It's been so long since I went to a concert that I don't even remember. You know what? I don't know if this actually it was a concert. My brother, and I do too. It's a rap concert. And I don't know if you know this artist, but it was in Miami. It was a few years ago. I went to Action Bronson. I don't know if you're familiar with the artist.
I feel like I have. Doesn't he have a pretty popular song right now?
Not right now, but have you ever watched that show on, what is it, Netflix? I forget. Have you ever watched a show called F That's Delicious?
Yes, yes. Is he on?
He's a former chef. He's a former chef turned rapper. That's the last concert that I went to because at the time he had this little mixtape album. Me and my brother loved it. We were in Miami like, yo, let's go see it. But that was like, that had to be like maybe 6-7 years ago. I don't really go to concerts because my thought process on concerts is they don't play the music the way I'm used to hearing it. The live version of the song is not as good as the recorded version, you know? And that's just how I feel. You know, I know it's great to see that person, but what I hate is when the artist wants to get the audience involved. I don't want to hear the audience sing the chorus. I want you to sing the chorus. You know,
I know. They always favorite do
line,
that.
My favorite line of the song, I don't want you to go, no, I don't want to hear that. I want you to say it.
I don't want to hear 10,000 drunk people fill it in. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Okay, best meal you've had so far in the DC area as a new resident?
Best meal? Oh my goodness. Best meal right now? Ooh, what restaurant have I gone to that I could say was phenomenal? I can say this. Last weekend, I went to Delena. It's a Mexican restaurant.
Okay.
It was really good. It was really good. Gosh, there's so many places I went so far. I'm losing track. That was the last place I went to. Where else have I gone? Oh, my goodness. I had brunch at Yardbird.
Yes.
The chicken and waffles.
Yes. Amazing. You were
crazy. Crazy.
Okay. Rob, crazy. Love that. Is there anything about the DC area you don't get? When I first moved here, it took me forever to realize when people would say the inner loop and the outer loop. I was like, what the frig are people talking about? Is there anything about DC culture you're still like, what is that?
I can tell you this. It's so crazy that I'm living here now because for the longest time, I never thought I wasn't really that keen on this area. And I was never really keen on, as much as I love music, I never really gravitated to go-go music.
Oh, yeah.
So I was like, man, I can't figure it out. And when I was in college, there was a bunch of folks from the DMV who were down at the U and like they played. And I'm like, I don't get it. You know, I didn't get it. There was a couple of songs I liked, don't get me wrong, but as a whole, like,
yeah, you were like, I don't get
like
it.
Four
yeah.
hours, 5 hours straight, I didn't get it. But as I've gotten older, I've learned to appreciate some of it. I don't know if I can go to a go-go party. Maybe somebody needs to show me, like, oh my God, I can play you jam after jam after jam, but I appreciate it. I never gravitated toward it.
So what you're saying is Friday night at Club ROB, we're really not going to hear the go-go.
Not right now. Not until somebody shows me a bomb playlist that I can put together. And I'm like, okay. Now I do have a couple of go-go songs on my phone. I have to go back and check. I couldn't name them for you, but I've saved them. I have this thing like if I'm anywhere and I hear something that I like, I'll save it immediately. And I'll put it to a playlist because I have about 30 different playlists. So whatever the mood I'm in, I'm like, oh, I can play it. I can add this to this playlist or that playlist. So I have a couple of songs, but if I ever wanted to show DC love the way I know I need to, I need to put together a bomb go-go playlist with about 40 songs that I could just let it rip for at least an hour straight. And people are like, oh, you're from DC? I'd be like, you know, where I can fool somebody where they think that I'm from here, even though I'm not from here. That's my goal.
Okay, I have two more questions for you. Last gift that you bought your wife?
I'm so glad you asked. I got her a bag, and she loves it.
Wait a minute. Now, did she tell you what Gucci bag did you get? Or what, like, what Fendi? Actually, what was this?
It was actually Prada.
Okay, Prada.
So we went to this. So she had shown me this bag, because I had got her a bag for Christmas last year, but, you know, the day she asked me, I was feeling good. I was in a good mood. And she was like, oh, my God, I really love this bag. And I was like, well, let's go get it. I don't know why I said that, because I could have saved myself a lot of money. And she was like, are you serious? Actually, we were at dinner when she brought it up. And no, so the next day she woke up and we went to Tyson's. And she was like, and we went to that all the side with all the luxury spots and whatever. We walked into the store. And I was like, that's the bag you want? She's like, yeah, are you sure? I'm like, yeah. I was like, let's do it. Swipe it. And I did it.
And there's $2,500 I'm not getting back. But you know what? Happy wife, happy life. I'm good.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Okay, Rob.
Well, actually, it's happy wife, happy life. But I prefer happy spouse, happy house.
Oh, I do. I do too. Yeah, because you know your man's got to be happy too. Otherwise, it's not going to work. So that's a good happy spouse, happy house. I like that one better. Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. Last question. In this age where you know we work in the news business, that's now become a 24-hour news cycle, right? So there's just this constant appetite for news stories. How do you think you be a good journalist?
Ooh, that's a good question. First and foremost, you have to maintain your integrity. You have to be yourself. And you just, obviously, facts are very important. You have to stay to the facts and don't try to get swayed by the divisiveness that we live in, the world that we live in today, because it's so easy to try to tell a story in a way that only appeals to one group of people. And so, you know, even today, I mean, our job is to remain neutral, but it's still easy to, you know, write something. You could write one thing in a package or say one sentence in a story, and it could make one group of people feel like, okay, he thinks like I think. You know, you have to, you know, give the positive and the negative. You can be like, well, you know, the left says this, but the right says this. You know, so you have to stay, you know, Switzerland or Sweden, you know.
Which is very hard, right? And also, you know, in this era where a lot of journalists now, it's like, you have to get social media followers. You have to do, you know, it's like, if you appeal to one of those groups, you get more likes or you get more
people
hits.
Are chasing numbers.
People are chasing numbers. It's very difficult, I would imagine, in your position to not fall for that, because it's really hard.
I've learned that I do not understand social media. So there's like the algorithms and all that stuff. I post something that I think is going to be so informative and I think will be fun and appreciative, and it'll get no love. Then I'll post something of what I ate for lunch and 1,000 people like it. You're like, what? Like, why do you care what I ate? You know, like, I'm just trying to tell you something that's going to make your life better. Oh, no, you like this picture of, you know, my breakfast sandwich?
Isn't that crazy? Like, I bet you could post just pictures of you and your wife and you'd get more likes than if you legit
always. I mean,
did
listen,
a story.
Like I said, the camera doesn't love me as much as it loves her. So she makes me look better. So if I want to post a picture, I don't really post that many selfies. I'll do it because if I'm feeling good here and there. But I'd rather post pictures with people that people love. Because then I'm just sitting there. I'm like, hey, I'm in it too. You know, they may not be looking at me, but it will get some likes. So I'm good with it.
Rob, what a career. Well, we're so glad you're here. Welcome to Fox 5. I mean, obviously, you're beyond the welcome. I mean, you're doing an amazing job. Everybody can see you on weekdays, Monday through Friday, 4 p.m. You're anchoring there. Where else can people follow you, find you, watch you?
Monday through Friday, 4, 6, and 11 at Fox 5. Social media, same handles on Instagram and Twitter, Rob_Desir, Rob_Desir. Facebook, of course.
Amazing. Thanks, Rob. So good.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. It was fun. It was a pleasure.